everybody. It's another Webtoon Wednesday, and I have the pleasure of being joined by another Webtoon creator with a really amazing comic. I stayed up far too late last night reading it. Was really tired at work today, but it was absolutely incredible. The name of the comic is Unordinary, and I have Erchan joining me. Erchan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, Jace. Hi, everyone. My name's Erchan. I'm the writer of Unordinary, and I'm just joining here to talk about my comic a little bit.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So, but I always like to ask people before we dive into the nuts and bolts and talk about story and kind of some of the themes and the characters, about kind of your history with comics. So, did you grow up reading comics? If so, what kind? Like, how old were you when you discovered them? Like, what's your secret origin, so to speak?
Yeah, so I think my origins for comics probably it started with Toonami. So it's not really, they're not actually comics. It was with anime. So I was watching Toonami shows like Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho, Sailor Moon on a channel that aired Toonami. That's where my love for anime came. And then, you know, I started kind of picking up the drawing style and just started drawing some stuff on my own. It wasn't until, so that was back during elementary school, but it wasn't until around high school, which is when I got into reading manga, which is like the Japanese comic style books. That's when I really fell in love with the whole, you know, pairing up pictures with words. And I started drawing and making my own comics. I started off just kind of drawing comics for myself. But then I had a really close friend who said, oh my God, these are so good. You should like show everybody else. So I started posting my stories online sort of as like an anonymous writer. And I just always did it as like a hobby on the side. And now here I am.
Yeah. So how did that transition happen to where you ended up on Webtoon? Did you go through the Discover side or did they recruit you because they found your comic online? Like how did that relationship come about?
Yeah. So Webtoons was hosting a, contest called the Superhero Contest. And back then I was still working my full-time job. It was just, something that I did on the side. I saw the comic and I thought, I saw the contest and I thought, this is an interesting opportunity. So I decided to just try out for it. And just made a little random intro up on the spot and just submitted it. It seemed like some people liked it. So I was like, this is something that, you know, people might actually want to read. So I kept writing and I got really lucky to be chosen as one of the winners of the contest, and Webtoons offered me a feature position, and now I'm drawing a new episode every week. So yeah.
So that original submission that got you onto Webtoon, was that Unordinary?
It was, yeah.
And you said okay, I'm going to do this contest and what do I want to write about? And just kind of pulled it out of thin air or like how did, well, first maybe you should tell everybody kind of what Unordinary is about, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you came up with the idea.
Okay, sure. So Unordinary is kind of about a world where everyone has superpowers. They're called abilities in the world. And your ability kind of determines how strong your ability determines your place in society. So people with weaker abilities are more timid and kind of get pushed around, and people with stronger abilities are more assertive and kind of are chosen as the leaders. So the main character, his name is John. He goes to a really prestigious school called Wellston Private High School. And he doesn't have any powers, but for some reason he's really confident, and he's best friends with the strongest student in his school. Her name's Serafina. And he's really weird and mysterious because he doesn't fit the social norm. So throughout the story, you kind of follow him around and you realize that there's a little bit more about him. And he's kind of just stuck making a bunch of decisions that start reshaping his personality. And in the meantime, there's like also a bigger overarching plot that has to do with a secret organization called Ember, who's doing some shady stuff with superpowers and killing people.
Was it like a bunch of different ideas that you kind of had in the back of your head that when it came time for the submission, you kind of put them all together, or did it sort of grow organically over time when you kind of sat down and came up with the initial idea? Like walk us through the process of establishing the story that eventually is unfolding. And I'm sure now that you're up to 128 episodes, the story and the characters have evolved over time. But if you can remember back to the kind of the beginnings, what was that process like?
So I was trying to explore the theme of like what makes someone super, or like what makes someone unordinary. The theme for the contest was superhero. So I was trying to explore the idea of like having the opposite of a superhero. Like what happens if you're in a world where everybody is a superhero and the main character is a guy who's not? What ends up happening in that situation? That was kind of the question I was going for. Obviously, things have changed since then, but that was my initial sort of direction.
Yeah, and I find it very interesting that you chose high school as a setting too, because I know a lot of manga does choose that just because it's such a rich setting for like drama, and we can all sort of relate to high school. And you know, when we feel like the world is coming to an end because this, you know, guy or girl didn't say hi to us and everything. So there's kind of some built-in, like, good, fertile ground for storytelling. And so I'm glad you chose it. Were there any other specific reasons that you chose high school, or you just thought that would be kind of a good setting to really explore these characters and kind of what they're going through? I mean, that's really where we all start to sort of find our identities, right, is right around that age.
Yeah, I guess actually one of the main reasons why I chose high school was because it's a lot easier to draw school uniforms. I can get a little bit lazy with that. Aside from that, it's really just, I feel like my most vivid memories are from high school. I feel like my truest memories are from high school. That was probably the time where I was the most honest with myself and with what I wanted to be. So a lot of inspiration of the story actually comes from me when I was in high school.
Yeah. And you mentioned wanting to explore the idea of what it means to be a hero. And you love that idea of the main character, John, being kind of the one that, you know, when the story starts, doesn't have any powers, but he's kind of our POV character. And it's really like one thing that I sort of got right away at the beginning of the story, when John and even some of the characters that have abilities, but they're not really strong abilities, they kind of get pushed around and bullied by the other students. And it made me think how relevant that is, you know, especially, you know, bullying in schools and everything, which has been sort of in the news, I don't know, for maybe the last decade or so. It's certainly, you hear about it way more than what, you know, when I was a kid. But even more so now with kind of the political climate that we're in with the haves and the have-nots, it seems like this story is like super relevant. But I have to imagine that when you started, it wasn't quite to the degree that we're at now, like divisiveness and the idea of the 1% having all the money. It wasn't quite, it didn't quite get to the level that it's at now. I feel like it's something that gets talked about like every day now, all the time. So as that has sort of happened, have you felt like, wow, I sort of like predicted the future in a way? At all?
I wouldn't give myself that much credit. I think it's a theme that I've always personally been interested in, but as I'm writing the story, I'm also taking in a lot of current events. So I feel like the story is just kind of shaped into the sort of story that's kind of like social commentary almost, in a sense. So the story is written as events in real life are happening.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that I noticed. You know, I mentioned how there's, you know, there's tons of manga that are set in high schools and, you know, school settings, school-age children or what have you. But I feel like not all the characters that inhabit those stories are as kind of socially or politically conscious as your cast is. They really are sort of invested in kind of the politics of the world with the, you know, the vigilantes and Ember and everything that's going on, and John's father. And again, I think it sort of reflects where we are. I think in society now, we're so much more, high school age kids are so much more involved and understand politics and are looking to the future, like what's the world they're going to inherit, much more so than, you know, years past. So is that something that you purposefully injected in the story as well?
It definitely wasn't purposeful. It started off as just, I feel like most of my characters up until around chapter 20 were kind of just shell characters, that were just kind of 2D cutouts. It wasn't until chapter 20 when I started wondering, like, why is this character like this? Or, you know, what got this character to where he or she is right now? And what do I want as, you know, what do I want for this character's future, and what sort of decisions do they have to make to get to that point? it's a lot of like self-reflection, I feel like. And it's not so much related to the political climate. I guess there is some influence from the outside, but most of it, I would say, is self-reflection.
Now, if that makes any sense. was there something that specifically happened around that time as a creator? You know, because like you said, it's. I mean, everything is really a reflection of the creator. You know, you're talking about self reflection. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sprung from your imagination, so it's going to be influenced by, you know, the things that you care about, and that's that, you know, as it should be, and it's something that all, you know, creative people have. There's something of themselves in their creations, and it's why so many creators, older creators, you hear them say, okay, don't, just because you're like a freelancer and you work from home, don't become a hermit, because you need to get out there and live and experience life so that you have something to draw from to create these ideas and these stories. So it makes sense that, that it would be self-reflection. But was there something going on, particularly around that time of issue 20, that sort of led you, or was it just where you got to a point where you're like, okay, I'm really doing this now. How do I take it to the next level?
I think it was a mix of everything, but I think around issue 20 was when it really hit me that a lot of people were reading this. I always like to read the comments for feedback, so that I can improve my story as I'm writing it. And there are a lot of different points of views that you can see from the comments. And so I kind of draw from those, like the emotions of the commenters. Like, some people are very supportive and some people are not so supportive. And, you know, I guess I have reactions to those comments as well. Like, for example, this comment made me sad, and what happens, to a person when they're really sad, they're being held to, okay, so my thoughts are kind of jumbled, but I guess if we were to use Serafina as an example, she's sort of like the student who's at the very top of the school, and she's always perfect, she always gets perfect grades, and people kind of just look at her from the outside, and they're like, oh, you know, she's just the girl who always gets 100 on everything. She's just the strongest at everything. And I feel like from a creator's point of view, that's what a lot of readers also think. Oh, this person is writing a popular story. They must be having the time of their life. They don't have any, they just, you know, sit at their desk and then all they have to do is draw pictures. And, you know, from, I guess, Sarah's point of view or my point of view, I'm thinking, you know, I'm working, you know, 60 to 80 hours a week. And wow, this got a little bit too deep, but I'm working a lot. And, you know, and there are things that I go through that other people might not see from the surface level. It looks like it's something that's super easy, but, you know, from the person's perspective, it's a lot harder than it looks. And you know, that's just from Sarah's point of view. But I mean, yeah, it's really just, you know, me channeling different parts of my personality to kind of deal with the comments and also continue writing the story, as you know, from the reaction of the audience. So
now when you started out, did you think it was going to be such a personal journey, like being a you know, a creator that kind of puts yourself out there? Or did you kind of think, well, yeah, this is going to be easy, so to speak?
Yeah, I didn't expect this at all. I thought it was just, I thought I was just following my dream. This is something that I just always wanted to do, you know, to just write comics for the rest of my life and just have people read them and enjoy them. But there are a lot of downsides to it that a lot of people don't see. And that's something that I did not expect at all. And I feel like the bigger the audience, the bigger the criticism is. So,
yeah, I suppose there's that idea of expectation, right? And mm-hmm. there's from the audience's point of view, especially if anyone out there is reading or listening who's a prospective creator, you always think, oh, the grass is always greener on the other side. If I could just get to where that person is. But in a way, it's kind of human nature to never be satisfied. And when, you know, I talk to a lot of different comic creators, and some of the most successful ones are the ones that are kind of filled with the most doubt in a way, because they, as much success as they have, they never want to kind of rest on their past work. They're always striving and challenging themselves to do better.
Right.
And they're always their own worst critic in a way. So it's not surprising to me to hear you say those kind of things, even though you have a wildly successful webtoons and an incredible story. So just know that there are those of us out there that are reading it and really enjoying it.
Yes, yes, for sure. I know.
Yeah, if you ever need a pick-me-up, you can just drop me a line and I'll remind you how great the story is.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
Yeah, we also talked about a little bit already about kind of the setting and you know, being set in high school and adolescence. And that's when you sort of are kind of trying to discover yourself and establish your identity. And so that's kind of a theme that is in the book as well, certainly with John, who, you know, doesn't have powers when he starts out. And Serafina, when we meet her, you know, her and John are friends, but then there's flashbacks where we see that they didn't necessarily start out that way. And really Serafina has, and John also, they've both sort of, their identities have sort of morphed as the story's gone along. So that's kind of an interesting idea too. And it's really kind of an analog for the person you are when you enter high school is not the same person you are when you leave high school, like you grow and evolve. So is that something that has been easy for you to have your characters sort of grow and go on this journey where, you know, you get into the point where the characters are speaking to you? Or has it been something that's been more of a challenge to make sure that your characters are evolving?
I always want to make sure that my character's growth are as seamless as possible. I for sure, you know, I mean, I don't read that much, but of all of the pieces of literature that I've read, definitely I haven't seen very many where it's focused solely on character development or focused a lot on character growth and how people change. I really wanted to write a story where the characters can go from one opposite to another polar opposite just through experiences.
So it sounds like it was kind of baked in from the beginning then, and you didn't really have trouble with sort of shifting that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the fact that you also draw the book, which it looks amazing, you know.
Thank you.
Which, I don't think that people realize how, like, you know, like you yourself said, they don't realize how much work that it really is. So when you started off and you were coming up with the idea and then you had to sort of get the visual look down, did you know right away how exactly you wanted it to look, or did it take a few kind of passes to sort of get the look and the feel and the tone and the mood of the world down, or did it sort of come naturally to you?
I think in the beginning, I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted, but definitely, yeah, as time, so I was kind of just winging it in the beginning. As time passed, I had a much clearer idea of like what, how certain characters would act under certain situations and how the world would look in this sort of environment where, power determines everything. I also wanted to make something that was colorful and fun.
Do you feel like the store or the setting has remained consistent throughout, or do you feel, do you go back and look at your early art and kind of cringe and say, I'm so much better now?
Yeah. I think that's one thing that's so great about writing webtoons and publishing on a weekly basis, is that it's kind of like a diary, of your art and writing progression. Whenever you're feeling like you need a pick-me-up, I guess, you can always go back to the first chapter and just look at how much you've improved, as a writer and as an artist. Definitely, there are so many moments where I'll look at my old art and just be like, what was I thinking there? Yeah.
That's cool. Tell us about the power pentagon that you came up with, because the first time it showed up, I was like, oh, that is really cool. You know, not that I play video games anymore, but I used to be like really into video games. And so that whole idea of like different attributes and everything, how did you come up with that, that idea as a way to sort of introduce the characters?
I play mostly, Pokemon. I play a lot of Pokemon and I play a lot of League of Legends. And so those are kind of where my inspiration came from. Pokemon, they have that like IV hexagon, where it just shows your stats, and I kind of just like poached that. And everybody in every major character in Unordinary also has like sort of a class, that they fit under. Like Arlo would be considered a tank. John would be considered like a berserker, I guess. I would put Seraphina under an assassin, and I would put, you know, Elaine under healer or support. I mean, the class system kind of runs through every video game, but most of my inspiration for those was from League of Legends.
So I have never played League of Legends. I know I'm showing my age because I kind of got...
You probably don't want to.
Yeah, I have heard horror stories, but I kind of got like a Final Fantasy was kind of the one that I thought of, and maybe it's just because of the kind of the style of art. But yeah, that's really cool. Have you gotten a lot of good feedback from other gamers that are like, oh yeah, that's really cool that you put that in there?
Yeah, I've noticed that it is something that a lot of people are interested in. They really like looking at numbers. And they really like looking at stats. It's something that I personally like too, and that's why I put it in. I just thought it was a cool addition.
Have you ever had any fans say, oh, no, this is like so-and-so's like trick has to be way higher, or so-and-so's power should be way higher, or all the time?
Yeah, I feel like I did. There are some common misconceptions with like the power distribution in Unordinary. I feel like because it is out of a meter of like from 1 to 10, people think that a 4 is really weak. But in reality, a 4 is actually considered really strong. So I guess personally, I didn't do a good job of explaining that. But the way I like to think of it is like 1 through 5 is kind of like the actual meter. And then anything above 5 is like extra. So if you're above 5, you're like really, really freaking strong.
Yeah, like world-ending kind of
spirit. Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Well, getting back to some of the themes, there was another idea that I got as the story started out. Actually, this was a lot in the beginning with John, because you yourself mentioned how confident he was. And I think that because he didn't have an ability, you know, people at the school that he went to was like, oh, you know, he's a weakling. He doesn't have any abilities. Everybody sort of underestimated him, but he didn't back down. And I think he kind of surprised a lot of people, including Serafina. And I think that's probably why they became friends, because she's like, man, this guy, you know, even though he doesn't have, you know, an ability, he's still standing up for himself. So is that a theme that's personal to you that you wanted to explore, or was it just something that was built into John as a character?
I think I'm a really strong believer that everybody has a talent. Everybody has the potential to do something that, or whatever they want. And I think the problem nowadays with like the internet and just, you know, all these distractions is just that people kind of start telling themselves that they're not really worth it, or like they can't do it. And so they start holding themselves back. Just kind of like the theme of this story also is the measurement of your competence in the story is your power. It's not your intellect. It's not your personality. It's nothing like that. It's just based off of what society decides, right? And so for John, the reason why he's so, I guess, attractive to Serafina in the beginning is because he has confidence, even though he doesn't have an ability, and because he, you know, he's just so different from everyone else. I think that's a strength.
Yeah, I think he's a very inspirational character, because, you know, right off the bat, you find out, okay, he doesn't have an ability, but he never once feels, in the beginning, he doesn't feel sorry for himself. You know, mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm in a dangerous position. I can get my butt kicked by these people that have abilities. But he never uses as an excuse. You know, he never says, oh, my life sucks because I don't have abilities. He just accepts it. Okay, this is reality. This is the life that I live. Mm-hmm. I worked really hard to get to this great high school because it's a great high school. And I'm not going to like back down just because I don't have abilities. Like, he doesn't let that define who he is, despite the fact that all the other characters, all the other people with abilities, the powerful, mm-hmm. or the haves, if you will, that's how they define John, right? That's John's identity to him. He's the kid with no abilities. John never defines himself like that. It's like really inspirational. Right from the start, did you hear a lot of reaction from people that really kind of identified with that?
Yeah, I do remember reading a lot of comments from people saying how it really makes them feel like they're worth something, and that they don't have to worry about what other people think about them, you know, to feel happy. So that's good. As long as you're happy with yourself, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that self-confidence, kind of like you were saying, that's why Serafina is attracted to him. It's an attractive thing to have belief in yourself. How about the overall reaction to the series? Did it catch on right away?
I guess it started off pretty slow. But I think it wasn't until like the big reveal happened that's when it started really kind of gaining traction. It's definitely been incredible. Like, I never would have imagined it to get this big. And I'm just really glad that I'm able to write something that so many people can read and so many people can just come back to every week and just enjoy.
Yeah. So when an episode drops now, do you immediately get a lot of feedback from the community?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, I'll get a couple of thousand comments right away, and it's just be like, well, I don't really know like what to do about this. Like, how am I supposed to catch up with all this feedback and stuff like that? I just remember when I first started, I only had like, or not only, because it's still a lot, but like, it started off with a couple hundred and now it's like a couple thousand, and it's just, the growth has been incredible. So,
Have you had a chance to do like conventions and stuff and meet some of your fans in person? How's that been like?
Yeah. I went to New York Comic Con back in October, I think. And I also went to Keystone as well as Chicago Comic Con. I actually got to do a couple of panels at those conventions too. And I got to sign a lot of posters for my readers, and it's just great. Like it's great to see them in person, because when you're just writing every week, sometimes it's kind of like you're just behind a screen, so there's no actual interaction. But seeing them in person and hearing that hey, these people actually, you know, are hearing how your work has changed them and how your work has affected them is really just super motivational, and really pushes me to just keep updating every week and keep writing the story and just doing the best that I can. So
yeah, there's not really much there's not really anything else that kind of feels like interacting with your fans in person, because like you said, you're behind a screen, and it's you know, even though you get the comments and you react, it's just not the same as the like the human interaction and having people, like you said, be in, you know, inspired by what you've done, and then it in turn inspires you. I know that like the first time I had people come up to me, like literally because they heard me talking and recognized my voice. They didn't even know what I looked like. It was so surreal. I was like, wait, there's actually somebody out there listening to what I'm saying. It's so funny.
Yeah. It's really exciting.
Now, how's the experience been working with Webtoon? I suppose because you kind of got your start with them, you don't necessarily have other like platforms. You haven't really worked print or anything, so you don't necessarily have anything to compare it to. But what's the experience been working with them? Has it been a positive experience overall?
Oh yeah, definitely. They're really supportive, and there's always, you know, if you ever need help with the editing or scheduling, there's always somebody there to help. They're just great. Like they're just very accepting of all sorts of creators, not just me. You know, like everybody has a chance on this platform, pretty much, as long as you have a passion for creating comics. It's really great. Yeah.
Now, if somebody is looking to, maybe somebody out there listening or one of your fans has been inspired by you and wants to create their sort of their own story, they have a story that they want to tell, and they decide that they want to do it on Webtoon in the Discover platform. So you won the contest, you never were on the Discover platform, right?
I actually have another comic that is currently on hiatus, but...
Okay, and it's over on Discover?
Yeah.
So what would your advice be for someone who's looking to try it out?
Definitely just keep going. Keep updating. Don't stop. And it's tough sometimes starting off because you don't see your numbers growing, you don't see your audience growing, but you know, for me this also started off as a hobby. It started off as me just, you know, writing my comic by myself. So Webtoons has a huge audience. Everybody is willing to read your story. Just keep updating. People will find your comic, and it'll start gaining traction, and you'll get there.
Yeah, sure. I guess that kind of goes hand in hand with the next question I was going to ask you, which you yourself said that Unordinary started off kind of slow, and then eventually it's finally found its audience. So if somebody is out there and they aren't seeing the numbers, your advice is just to keep, like, you kind of almost have to ignore the numbers.
You're drawing your comic for yourself. You're not drawing it for anyone else. This is your passion. This is your dream. Who cares if nobody wants to read it right now? You know, if you're having fun, if you're doing what you want, people are gonna see that you're having fun. People are gonna see that you're doing what you want, and people are attracted to that. You know,
yeah, kind of like John with the self-confidence.
Yeah.
It all comes back to John.
Full circle.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Have you had a chance to meet other Webtoon creators, like when you're at New York and such?
Oh yeah. It's awesome. honestly. It's probably one of the greatest experiences because it's one of those things where you meet them and everything just kind of clicks, you know, where it's kind of like, we're doing the same thing, we're going through the same stuff, and we just kind of understand each other. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's like you guys are going to battle together in a way, right? Those are your fellow soldiers.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the digital platform overall? Do you feel like digital is the kind of the future of comics? I mean, do you still? I imagine you must read a ton of stuff digitally. Are there any print comics that you still check out?
Yeah. I really believe in digital comics. I think it's super accessible. I keep up with most of the top comics on Webtoon right now. I Love You, Let's Play, My Dear Cold-Blooded King. I started off reading Dice and Bastard on Webtoon. That's what actually inspired me to write my own Webtoon. So, yeah, there's definitely huge potential in the digital space right now.
Yeah, I agree. And it's one of the things I always love to talk about and to tell listeners is the fact that, okay, first of all, there's any genre, any kind of story you can think of, somebody's out there creating it. There's so much great content. And the fact that it's free for the readers, but also the fact that Webtoon has found a way to make it free for the readers, but pay a competitive page rate, competitive with like Marvel or DC or Image or any of those other companies. That's just amazing, right? Because, there are so many creators that I talked to and said, yeah, when I first got started and I was putting my comic up on Tumblr and it like, not only was I not getting paid for it, but it was like costing me money, right? Cause I'd have to pay to have my, my files hosted. Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's such a great platform. I totally agree with you.
Do you read any webtoons aside from Unordinary, I guess? You keep up with anything?
So yeah, I do. I read Let's Play and I read, I totally fell in love with Outrage. And a lot of these are the ones that, I've had them on the show. So I went and checked them out. Cause I actually found out about Webtoons a couple of years ago, but I read so much stuff and a lot of it's necessary to do the particular episodes or whatever. So it's always tough to find more time to read. Like I wish I could just, that could be my full-time job. But there's some other stuff that I check out, as well. Trying to think, is it Brothers? It's the one by Ryan Benjamin. And then there's another one I think called the 100. But Siren's Lament and Metaphorical Her is really great. So there's a lot of really, really good content. And it's so funny too, because when you find a strip like yours, or Let's Play was another one that was like this for me, where you're really good at ending on a kind of a cliffhanger that makes the reader want more, right? And when you have...
You gotta get them to come back next week.
Right, exactly. And when you have as many episodes as like you and Mongi do, it's like, okay, it's 3 a.m. I need to go to bed. Okay, just one more. Just one more, So it's really awesome.
If it helps, I feel the same way when I'm reading comics too, so you're not the only one.
But that's good. I mean, it means you're engaging, and it means that, people care about what you're doing. So you did mention that you have another book that's on hiatus, but there are episodes of it over on The Discover. Do you want to let our listeners know what it is in case they want to check it out?
Yeah, sure. The title is called OFR Ice. It's completely different from Unordinary. It takes place in like some fantasy world. It's also got some superpowers, but it's not very far in at all. But yeah, if you want to check it out, definitely go ahead, but don't expect an update soon because I'm working on Unordinary. So
right, that's what I was going to say. It's, as hard as it is to do one, I can't imagine trying to do two.
I definitely would love to go back to it. Whenever I find the time. So
yeah, you have to sleep sometime, Erchan.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Well, it's been really great having you. Again, I love the story Unordinary. It's amazing. I actually, a little bit of the vibe I got from the story. I don't know if you ever read Morning Glories by Nick Spencer from Image. That's it's kind of like Lost crossed with like Lost if it was in high school, or Lost with Lost with Runaways, that Marvel title that that people seem to love. And that's what that's kind of the vibe I got with Unordinary. So listeners, if you're familiar with Runaways, Morning Glories, I really recommend going to check out Unordinary. It's really a great book, or a great strip, I should say.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners?
Aside from, you know, just thank you all for reading and supporting the comic and just pushing me through every week. Thank you guys.
Great. Thanks, and if everyone. if any of our listeners or any of your fans don't already follow you on social media, where's the best place to get information about your upcoming work?
I would say Twitter, at Uruchan, OFR. And also, you can follow me on Instagram at uru.chan. Those are the two platforms that I use the most, aside from Webtoons.
Great. And as always, listeners, there'll be a link to the Webtoon strip in the show notes, and I'll also put links to Uruchan's social media. So if you're not sure where to find her on Twitter or Instagram, just go to the show notes, click on the link, and you'll be able to find her really easily. All right. Well, thanks again for joining me. It was a blast, and congratulations on the success of Unordinary. And I look forward to finish. I'm about halfway. I'm right around episode 60. So looking forward to getting caught up.
Okay. I hope I didn't spoil anything.
No, not at all. I'll do this if it's somebody's coming on that has a long strip like that. I'll read as much as I can, and then when I literally can't keep my eyes open, I'll skip to like the last one or two episodes to kind of see where things are at. So I got like a little bit of a sneak peek. It only made me want to read it because I'm like, okay, wait, what happened in between? Now I really need to.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happens in between.
Yeah, so I definitely need to go and check it out. But the other thing is, like, I'm excited to read it all and find out what happens. But then I know that once I get caught up, I won't be able to binge like that. I'll be like all your other fans, and I'll have to wait a week between. So it's like a good and a bad thing, right? Like, yeah, I get caught up, but then I have to wait like everybody else. So anyway, first world problems.
You're right.
Anyway, thanks again, Uruchan. It's been really great to have you, and best of luck. Continued success with the strip.
Yep, thank you so much.